Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week, and I'm so excited about our show today. It's going to be so much fun. I'm actually calling in today from Nevada. Typically in Hawaii or Maryland, and today I'm in Nevada. And our guest is going to be coming on shortly in Arkansas. And today's really, really, you know, our show's always about real estate and then self-help and how we can give back to the community. And because we're all involved and we meet with real estate, we're so blessed to meet so many people and actually get into people's lives, get into homes and with the residential real estate in ways that a lot of people wouldn't be able to do. And so there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that happen in homes and out there in the communities, and that's why we dedicate the show to splitting it up to real estate and how we can help. So today, this is a really serious issue and sure dear to my heart, dear to everybody's heart. Bullying that is very serious, and it seems to be an issue that's not getting any better, especially with cyberspace, social media, just so much is going on. And I am privileged today to have Dan Rader, who started the Daniel Amidus National Foundation Against Bullying. This foundation is doing a lot to stop bullying. I hope you want to call in today. Our call-in number is 347-945-5428. He's a music publisher, previously in the real estate industry for over 25 years. So our agents and brokers listening and listening on archive will really appreciate this, too, and how he went from his, you know, in different stages of his career to going and fully living his passion, which is what he is doing now. He's owned several brokerages, and he's become an activist against the bullying. He speaks in schools and around the country, spreading awareness about bullying, signs to look for, how you can help, and he speaks from firsthand knowledge, being bullied as a child himself. I don't know when, you know, we get into these issues that we can really give back and help with. It really makes a difference when we've lived it ourselves. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Daniel Rader.
Hi, Natalie. It's so good to be with you today.
Oh, I'm so glad you can come on today. This is going to be an interesting. I think our hour is going to fly by. So if it's okay with you, we may not take a whole lot of commercial breaks, if any.
I'll follow your lead. That sounds excellent to me.
Sounds like. So, you know, before we get started on the show, let's talk a little bit about it. It was so interesting how we actually met. I'll let you tell a little bit about it because it was blown away. I'm always amazed at how people get connected, and this was, our story was it was very interesting.
The same is true for me, and I was thinking about it last night and this morning before I knew that I was going to be speaking with you in the afternoon. And it's so interesting that social media can do so many wonderful things, and social networking and internet networking can do so many wonderful things. And for your listeners' information and just encouragement, you can meet anyone, anywhere, anytime, really. But we met on LinkedIn, and what was interesting was I asked you to link with me accidentally by searching the name Mullinex, looking for ancestors on my mother's side of my family, which is spelled the same as your last name, M-U-L-L-I-N-I-X. And so I just did a search for that name, thinking maybe some of my relatives were out there. Now, in this case, it's your married name, so we may or may not have some in-law relatives. But I just thought it was very interesting. I reached out to you, and then you did something that a lot of people really don't do, is you took the time to read everything about me. And I know this because of the conversation we had yesterday over the phone. You read my entire profile, and that's really impressive. And I think that that probably reflects on just about every aspect of your life, your real estate, and your striving to do anything you can for others. It definitely stood out to me. And I want to impress upon people that they can do that as well, and I want to be a part of it as well, too. My Daniel Amadeus National Foundation Against Bullying is just one thing that we can talk about today, and among other realtor topics. But just, I thought it was interesting how we met.
I love it. I just love it. It's so neat. And now Mullinex is my married divorce name, I always have to say, because I got a divorce 20-some years ago, and then I just didn't, you know, with my son, I kept it. And so it's, and in talking to you, I bet I have to research and find out. I bet there are some relatives that are related somehow, you know, because of your mom's age and my ex-father-in-law's age. You know, it's so amazing. Oh, you know, I'm going to mention briefly, though, when we first talked about doing the show, you had mentioned people can go back and they can actually, I didn't realize you can get your DNA checked. I mean, I'd heard about, of course, there's Ancestry.com, but I didn't realize that you could actually go and pay for your national origin all the way back, right, for thousands of years.
As far back as 30,000 years. I think National Geographic sponsors that or is in partnership with the company that does that, and anyone can certainly Google and find out about that as well. So it's an interesting topic, and a lot of people would be interested in that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really interesting in the sense to me when we're going to talk about bullying, which is so serious, and there's so many indicators and things that can happen that people can miss that if they just have more awareness, they could be able, you know, look at it. But when you get into a topic of bullying with, you know, the big guy, the little guy, the one who's picking on, the one who's being bullied, you know, it really, even at a young age, it's so important in our homes to teach our children, our families, everybody, how to love everybody. Everywhere, from all walks of life, from, you know, whatever they do, you know, we get into this cliquist society, and if we could start learning to be more open and appreciative of with life, I think life would go a lot, you know, smoother. And I think it's interesting, though, just bringing it back for 1 minute, when talking about how you can get your DNA checked through the National Geographic and pay a fee to find out. Isn't it interesting how I think some people might say, well, I know my ancestors come from here, and we're da-da-da-da-da-da. And say they go and get this test done and find out they're all over the place and they never knew, you know, part of what their genetic makeup was, right? You know, which to me would make somebody be more humbled to understand why we all need to get along from everywhere, all over the place, you know, and bring a lot more love into the world. But I don't know, you have a lot of history with this topic of bullying. You're starting a foundation, getting in, and you mentioned psychology also, a psychology degree to me on the phone. Your awareness is amazing, and I just like to, you know, go into this and bring it back around also of, don't you think, like, if we could just somehow get everyone to be more understanding, I don't know if that could help the bullying too or not, but.
I think you're right about it, starting at home, and it's a lot of it has to do with your early years and your formative years, and really the thing that I think people kind of turn their back to in the sense that they just aren't aware is the signs. I mean, we all think of Beaver Cleaver, you know, we all think of what we see on television and the big kid is, you know, demanding the milk money from the little kid, but it's so much more than that now. It's into adults, it's cyberbullying, it's if you break up with someone and then they just become miserable and decide they want to make your life miserable. But for kids, it's the most important for me to work with K-12 and then college-level students. That's my priority that I try to focus on. I would want to help anybody that I possibly could, but I think maybe let's just mention a few signs briefly. for your audience that may not know that these certain things are kind of signals. So these are signs of maybe a child being bullied, not necessarily yours, maybe just you're an outside situation you're witness to. But a lot of those are like if your child has lost or destroyed clothing that's unexplained, books, jewelry, electronics, just personal belongings. Unexplainable injuries, you know, you might see a bruise on their elbow or forearm where someone's grabbed them, and, you know, you just want to maybe ask questions, how did that happen, you know, and if they don't look you in the eye and they don't give you a clear, quick, expressive answer, you know something's up. If they complain of headaches and stomach aches, feeling sick and faking their illnesses, you know, so that they don't have to go to school, definitely a sign. If they're having trouble sleeping or having nightmares, then you know they're really is something going on there, regardless of whether it might be bullying. Another thing would be declining grade, not showing interest, not wanting to go to school, avoiding social situations, feeling helpless, and just in essence, self-destructive behaviors, and anything from as far as running away from home, harming themselves, or even, sadly enough, talking about suicide. So those are the kind of signs that your listeners can look for, and they don't have to write them down. They can look at different websites, and you can certainly Google lots of things, bullying.com, stopbullying.gov. There's different government and different website organizations where they can find out more of this information. What's important to me is just to get the word out, to open your eyes to things around you.
And so would you say, is it starting at all ages?
I think it starts preschool, probably, in many cases, and I think we just overlook some of that even because, you know, in preschool you can have children that are much taller than others, larger than others in size, maybe further along developed as far as reading and writing. I mean, kids are reading and writing so young now. I have, all of our friends that have or newborns and toddlers and so forth. My child started walking at 9 months and talking at 14 months. And, you know, sometimes we tend to be grand about it. And other times it's very truthful. Kids are just learning so much earlier than they ever did before. And there are so many things out there just in daily living, in the home, on the television. And kids are smart. They don't miss a lick, I promise. They pick up on that.
They don't. They do. And I guess parents really need to be aware of what their children are watching or doing on the internet, et cetera, as well.
Sure, you can't be too careful is the thought there. You just can't be too careful.
Well, when a parent, for example, has children with these signs, is it in your studies on this and working with so many people, do you find that most kids are afraid to tell their parents, or some are coming home and telling them right away, or what's happening there?
A lot of times they're afraid because they, in essence, feel that it's going to get worse if they say something. And a lot of them don't know who to trust, what to say specifically, how to describe it so that they keep it, you know, as truthful in its essence as possible. I mean, some of it is name-calling, and a lot of it can be cyberbullying. So it can just be such a variety, but kids, truthfully, and young adults even, are wary to just trust in anyone to even say that this is happening to them, other than the people that obviously know that it's happening, which are the people that are the bystanders and the people that are watching it happen. And that bullies will bully in front of everybody, and they'll certainly bully on the internet, and they don't care who sees. So you're right. It starts really early.
What do you, you know, I'm just, you hear stories and I've seen things where people, well, kids get suspended, but and just talking to different parents over the years, my son, I guess I was pretty lucky him not having any of that type of issue happening, and I've heard over and over, though, you'll hear where one bullied one, the other one took up for himself, and then they both get suspended, or some does, you know, I don't know, I guess there are more regulations starting to be put in to clear this up. Because I'm sure the schools have to be getting more systems in place with it becoming such a serious issue Not that it was never a serious issue, it just seems like it's more rampant than in the past. So do they, yeah. I mean, do you find that the bullier, I mean, it's kind of going both ways where both were getting in trouble or kind of different?
Sure, and that's why a lot of times when the bullied person doesn't want to go to school, that's why. They realize they've done nothing wrong except try to defend themselves, and they find out that to go to school the next day, back from detention or expulsion or whatever, that they are going to have to face the same thing again. So, you know, that goes back to why they're afraid to go to school to begin with. And what's interesting around the country is that I find that there are different areas of the country, and I don't want to be specific to certain areas because I know everyone is trying in their very best way to get the very best help to K through 12 and college students that they can. And there are so many programs in place, but there are so many struggling school systems, you know, just to get by budget-wise, that this is not a priority. And just one example recently is that a student told me that he was bullied and explained his situation to me. And I said, did you speak to your school counselor about it? And he said, well, we really don't have a school counselor. And I said, you don't have a school counselor? Question mark. And it just, this light bulb went off, like, okay, maybe I can understand budget constraints. But then the next thing that came out of his mouth was, I went to one of the two assistant principals, and they did nothing about it. So that's pretty startling when a school has two assistant principals and doesn't have one counselor. That's pretty sad. So I think a lot of it is just, it's kind of growing and developing, and I think parents have to get involved with the PTA and different organizations, parent-teacher associations. And they just have to not make demands, but they have to just start this dialogue that says, look, you know, in a community not far from here, they're doing this to prevent bullying, and they're doing that to raise more funds for the PTA, and they're doing this to enrich students' evolution and growing as elementary school all the way through college, just as they evolve, you know, with their learning experience. The parents really need to be involved, especially K-12.
Yeah, I would think. Well, tell me a little bit about, you had said you had been bullied, right? So how did that feel? I mean, what was it when you were young? Like, what did you tell anybody? Did you tell your mom, your parent, you know, just?
I lived in an era of K through 12 when it, you know, you didn't even speak of it. People didn't even speak of it. They didn't talk much about it. There was dialogue, or there was suspension. There were, back then, you know, you could get a ruler to the hand now, you know, then, but now,
right.
You know, a teacher can't touch a student. A teacher can't even, God forbid, even hug a student, you know, without the fear of some sort of repercussion. So they have to be very,
nowadays,
very careful. But for me, and when I'm in school, K through 8 for me was kind of just an excitable time for me because the learning was so fun and so interesting, and I yearned to go to school the next day. So most of mine I kind of cast it aside as joking through probably 7th or 8th grade. I was always small. I started 1st grade when I was 5 and turned 6 just after school started. They really weren't supposed to let me start, but they kind of bended the rules. And so I always was smaller than everybody else up until high school, and then I finally had my growth spurt. But as a child, you want to make friends, and I think still children, there are a lot of things that don't change, and what hasn't changed is that everybody, regardless of what they would say to you or have you believe, is that they want to be popular. I mean, at least liked.
Right.
And that's the most important
thing.
So I think I focused on wanting to be liked, and so I had a lot more people liked me than did not like me. There were only one or two or three that didn't like me, so I thought to myself, let's focus on the positive. And I didn't go home, and I didn't cry about it. I didn't feel a tremendous sense of self-loathing or negative self-esteem. I had too many other things going that I focused on, but it's really easy to slip from that for kids nowadays. It's really easy for children to believe the worst than it is to believe the better, especially if they don't hear the compliments ongoing, like, oh, that's great, you got an A on your spelling test, you know, you brought your math up from a C to a B. Kids need to be encouraged, and I think when they're not, they just tend to lock up and they tend to get silent, and it's just very interesting. For me, I came out of it. For me, I like to say I survived and thrived. A lot of it was just name calling and just you know, just I was very thin. People would call me names like Bean Pole and Bean or Cornstalk or Pencil or Stick or whatever. There would be silly things like that, you know. And sometimes it's funny to a certain point, but everybody knows when something gets past the point of being funny is when it becomes bullying, repetitive, coercive, and just the fact that someone is trying to gain power over you and cause that imbalance of power. And for me, that never really got strong enough where I felt like I needed a strong intervention, but I certainly, looking back, wish that I had had someone in the school counseling area that would have been strongly versed in knowledge about this. I have to admit that. And more are getting highly versed, and it's part of becoming a school counselor is learning about bullying among many, many other topics. And it's just challenging, ongoing, and I just think the best that we can do is to offer a lending hand to someone that we can see who is struggling or suffering, especially if it's someone in your neighborhood, your friend, your church, the area where you live, your community watch area, the people that you most trust and feel like are nearest and dearest to the same ideals and beliefs that you are, to really kind of dialogue with them and let it spread from there and spread it as far as you can.
What do you find sometimes the kids are just really quiet, the ones being bullied maybe just are so quiet they're not telling anybody and they're holding it all in, or most are going to confide in somebody, even a friend? I mean, I just wonder if it's some.
At the onset, you're right. They absolutely do not want to talk to anyone about it. And then slowly with offering, they will.
So people need to maybe communicate more and ask how their parents could ask how it's going. How I guess I could see children being afraid to tell their parents, thinking the parent's going to go immediate to the school, immediately get upset and try to do something. And if the school isn't on board to help at the same time, which they should be, but you know, we hear that they're not always, that could
a lot of times
slow it down.
A lot of times that happens, but you know, we still have that boys don't cry, and you know, stand up for yourself, be tough, you know. And one thing that has to do with all aspects of behavior toward one another, when people get hurt or offended in certain ways, it just turns into this expression that I really loathe, which is just get over it. And so people will tell them to just get over it. And I get so tired of hearing that.
It's wrong. Just to kind of recap on the, I was looking up on the bullyingstatistics.org, and the types of bullying they say are the verbal, social, physical, and cyberbullying. I guess now with the internet and texting, emailing, it's even gotten worse, in the sense that somebody can text or email or bully and let the whole group see it, basically.
That's right, and they gang up on kids. They gang up, and it's just horrific. When you have one against one, that's one thing, but when more and more get on board, that just, it's exponential. It's sad and it's exponential.
Shouldn't there be laws against it? I mean, I don't know what they're doing to stop it that way, but I would think when it's blatantly right there and they've got proof that the kid bullied and texted or internet, or I would think there's something that could be done. I've got, of course, these children, many may be underage, but I'm just wondering if there's
their defense is I'm just joking and they can't take a joke. You know, a lot of times that's their defense.
You know, that's a good point.
But when you document that it's happening over and over again, I'll just put it this way. I wish there were more laws. I wish there were more stringent actions in place to step by step combat this. But there are things that people can do. You know, you just have to become involved, and your school counselors have to be invested, and everyone has to be invested, parents and children, because there's going to be, even in the best of days at school, there are going to be altercations and disagreements because people have their own beliefs, and you're going to have people of all types that are going to meet people of all types, and you would want to think that everyone could get along or at least look for the best in the other person. That's one thing that I mentioned constantly and to you yesterday, is that we just really have to focus on, I think, when we meet new people or introduced to new situations, I think we need to look for the very nicest and the best aspects and the best characteristics in people, look for those first and find something that you have in common with that person, and then open your dialogue with warm, loving conversation rather than, you know, just a silly, for instance, you know, can you believe that dress she's wearing, or can you believe that that kid would come to school wearing, you know, something like that, something, maybe just, you know, maybe a hand-me-down or something like
that. Critical.
And just think, wow, that person's got, you know, beautiful blue eyes, or that person has can sing really well, or that person, you know, does great in spelling. I mean, just look for anything positive is what I think, and I try to really emphasize with the youngest of children, just look for the best in people. And once you've taken the time to do that, there's so little that we don't have in common compared to how much we do have in common that if we just focused
on
that, it would just make
it's so true. And, you know, we all can learn from each other.
Well, I heard someone interesting, and I don't like to get political, but I heard someone say something interesting the other day. They said, wow, for a while I thought I was watching kindergarten on television, and then for a while I thought it was a sitcom, and then I finally realized that it was Congress on the C-SPAN channel.
I have the worst time with that, only because like it used to always be so professional, and it isn't anymore. And how can we expect everyone else to, not, you know, act like that? But when we see that
leaders, the point being, we act silly as adults, just like we act silly as children, and that's okay as long as you don't take it too far. That's the point I'm trying to make.
And one thing I'd like to say is you started this national foundation. And one person can make such a difference. You look at like the Candy, I can't think of her last name, the woman who started the Mother Against Drunk Drivers, right? And she was one person, and she started it, and, you know, look where it's gone. And what you're doing with this is just fantastic, because I think too many people, and I mean, we all get busy, we all get swamped, we have our businesses, careers, or, you know, family, or whatever you're doing, and it's hard sometimes to find the time to do these things, and then things get left behind or put on the back burner, and I just really commend you for what you're doing. And could you give everybody your contact information, too, right now? We'll do it a couple times, but we're on this halfway through the show.
The best way to reach me would be by email, because that does come straight through to my telephone, which I oftentimes cannot pick up, but yet I can see that and I can respond to that fairly quickly. And that's Daniel Amadeus, so DanielAmadeus, like the composer. So Daniel Amadeus at iCloud.com. That's my email that has to do with bullying. And if you just put bullying in the topic and send me an email, that's great. My telephone number for my main incoming calls and for messaging for my nonprofit is 615-668-3177, and that's a Nashville, Tennessee-based number. I started some of this work when I lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. I now live in Arkansas, but I still do some songwriting with other people in Nashville, and I still go back there very often. And that's the telephone number and the email, and then my website is www.danfab.org. So www.danfab.org. So just think Dan and Fabulous, and we'll hope that people think I'm fabulous.
Dan and Fabulous, Dan Fab, yeah. Oh, that's great. I love it. And if people want to donate or, you know, give contributions or get involved, because I'm sure you're never lacking. I know you're a nonprofit organization, so you're never lacking for volunteers, I would imagine.
I'm always looking for volunteers, for corporate sponsors, for individual sponsors, for people who are just philanthropic in nature, who are social in nature, especially in real estate, people who would like to have open houses in different cities. And when I say open house, I don't mean like sell a house on Sunday, but at their home and invite their, you know, best and brightest in their life that they know, and help with fundraisers by hosting them and still have a nice social event. I'm glad to travel and that sort of thing. And the main thing I should tell people that I like to do for the K through 12 and the college students is to pass out silicone wristbands, and they're embossed. They don't have real colored ink on them. They're embossed and kind of raised letters, as you would think of raised letters on business cards, and they just say simply "No Bullying!" exclamation point, and then danfab.org, and they come in lots of colors. Right now I have lots of bright red, light blue, medium blue, dark blue, and teal. So I like to get those wrists on children and college students, because I saw a young child that had about 9 of those on her wrist at a festival, and I was so charmed by that I had to ask, what did each one stand for? So that's why I do that, because someone will ask you what that's about, and you just start talking. There's your beginning, your dialogue. And so anyone who wants to help with donations, my P.O. Box for donations is P.O. Box 888. It's really easy to remember. And the city that it goes to where I live, actually, Siloam Springs, S-I-L-O-A-M, Springs, Arkansas, A-R, 72761. And you would just address it to my attention at Danfab, Inc. So that's the way to get through
PO
to
box
me.
Again,
your email.
PO box again. I just. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
PO Box 888, Siloam Springs, Arkansas, AR 72761. And then the spelling for Siloam Springs is S I L O A M, and then the separate word Springs, S P R I N G S. That's where people can mail donations, and where corporations can contact me. Anyone can send me any mail, even if it's just encouraging mail that you're doing good work. Listen, when I go to my box, if there's a $10 check in there, I'm excited. If there's a letter from someone that I spoke to at a festival that is tear-stained with, I really appreciate that you spoke to me in my mailbox. I'm grateful for all of that. I just think that if I put good things out there, that it will come back to me. And I'm just hoping that people with big hearts and forward-thinking minds who want to help other people, especially real estate agents. And since I was in the business for 25-plus years, I still love real estate. I love to remodel and restore older homes. And, of course, real estate brokers, if they don't often get in flips, you know, on purpose, sometimes they accidentally fall into one. So you just get to meet so many wonderful people that way. And I just think that if I enlist even just the help from realtors around the country, then I will be more than blessed with an abundance of people who would be willing to help and donate and get these wristbands to their communities. But my hope is to get to entire communities and entire school systems and stay maybe 2 or 3 weeks or a month and then visit as many schools as possible. So anyone out there with links to public or private schools who are on boards, who want to participate and have me come to their school. I don't spend a lot of time, as you would say, lecturing. I just pass out the wristbands. I really, if it's a Christian-oriented type school, I will use the golden rule as an example. And then when I go to the public schools and the secular schools, and, of course, they have their rules. So I don't use the golden rule because it's from the Bible. But I just use the "we would want to be kind to other people" if we expect people to be kind to us, and I just use the word kindness because I think that's one of the most warm and inviting words you can use, because whenever you say thank you for something, you're pretty much thanking someone for their kindness, no matter what it is they're doing for you.
And I tell you, it can go a long way. You know, you always hear that in a speaking story. Well, they talk about, there's a story that I'm sure it's happened where a high school kid was thinking about killing himself, and was carrying a lot of books home, and then another kid said, "Let me help you," and the kid befriended him so well. I mean, it's sure these things have happened, but it's just a story. But and got him to come over to his house, and they became best friends. And he said, "I have to tell you, I was on my way home, and I was going to kill myself. And your kindness to help me with my books, and you befriending me, and you know, changed everything for me." So it's whether we are little, you know, kid. I mean, when we're children, teenagers, adults, we don't know how that one comforting word, that one smile, can change someone's life or stop something, you know, that's going on. It's just it's incredible. Well, we were talking yesterday about things, and you mentioned something that I didn't realize, and I'd like to elaborate a little bit on it. With suicide, with the kids, with teenagers, you mentioned something about the suicide, and I said, well, I guess the depression's really a bad thing. And you had said, some of the kids, the way the kids are thinking, it could be depression, but it might not be depression, because you said they're very, you didn't say methodical, but you were saying they're very structured in how they do it. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? Just because I think some people may not even see any signs that their child's ready to commit suicide. I mean, it's a little maybe different than what an adult may be being depressed for a while.
Right, and we went over a lot of the warning signs early on, so I won't repeat those, but, you know, just self-destructive behavior, feeling helpless, they're declining grades. If they've lost things that they can't explain, like their watch or a necklace or something that was important to them, unexplained injuries, those are some of your warning signs, but I think just talking to your child and asking, but the thing that you're thinking of probably that we talked about the most yesterday was the statistic that, and statistics do change, so don't pin me down to this exact specific for every month of every year. But the last specific count and word that I had regarding suicide was that among K through 12, and usually the middle grades are the most at risk, is that those children either walk to school, catch the bus, ride the bus home, go throughout their day and complete their day, but all the while, one out of three of those kids that's being bullied repeatedly actually has a plan of action to end their life, meaning they know how they're going to do it if they take the opportunity, not that that's a good word, if they take the initiative to end their life, they already have a plan. And that's a sad thing for someone to be in that sort of situation when it's something that can be solved just by someone hopefully listening, like you said, and changing their life in just a moment's time. And you never do know, but it is. The latest statistic that I've read and heard of is one out of three who are bullied on a regular, consistent basis who don't have any support system or are not able to get any support system involved actually map out a plan. Now, whether they follow through with it in eighth grade or they don't at all is irrelevant. The fact that one out of three has a plan is frightening. We should all be frightened by that.
No, it's so scary, but it sounds almost like they might not even be depressed that day. They just have already made a plan, and it happened again, and they're like, okay, boom. It sounds that
I think they have,
can happen
I think
that
they
quickly.
Have their plan, and I think they have their breaking point. I think it's absolutely true that they just have their plan, and that's fine. We all have a plan. You know, I'm going to sell 5 million houses this year, and you might get to 3 by June and think, okay, I've got it made. Well, kids might think, okay, well, it's not been so bad this week, but last week was really bad, and if next week gets worse, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. So, I mean, the scariest thought is they're at the edge of this tremendous cliff, you know, and there's too much love and too much goodness and kindness and charity and warmness surrounding them and around to prevent that from happening. There's just too much good in the world for something like that to happen.
Way too much good. And then they get through it. They need to help people too, right? It's really a really difficult, it's a big mess. And I guess what'd you say? I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the kids that bully other people, it's, you know, they were bullied a lot of times, and, you know, they need help as well, but, you know, they're not going to take their life. So I think we need to focus with students to kind of have a buddy system, just like that one special person that can just change your day by looking in your eyes and saying, hey, I like you, and there's a lot of other people that like you, and you're good at something. And I think that it's important for children to know that someone will be by their side as a buddy and to find that one thing that they're really good at, because everybody's really good at one thing. You can't walk around a room and ask everybody in the room, you know, what they're good at without them finding at least one wonderful thing that they're good at, and so many different things that it's learning that about them would enrich the room. So I always, when I have a meeting with adults, a lot of times in the corporate world, I worked for Ford Motor Credit for about 8 years, which you didn't know. But with real estate, we have to have a second job. And in those meetings, we would go in those meetings, and we would start by going around And if the people knew each other, we would have someone say something nice about someone in the room. And we would always start out the meeting with something positive. So that's the way we have to look at it. We just have to start with the positive and look at all the good things and put the bad, you know, in a corner far, far away, because there's enough bad that happens randomly and accidentally that we have to deal with, let alone for people to be ugly on purpose and for bad things to happen on purpose.
No. Would you say they should, if somebody tells a friend they're thinking of killing themselves, they shouldn't think, oh, they're just kidding around, they should take it seriously?
No. You should always take them seriously, although a lot of times, and most of the time, people will leave a note as to why. And a lot of the times people will look back in retrospect and blame themselves because they saw those signs. But it's a two-way street. The person that needs help, you know, has to at least open up enough for someone to realize. But, yeah, right. If you see someone that says they're going to take their life and you think that they're just joking, and that's one of the saddest, sickest jokes you'll ever hear. So you should step away from whether or not they're joking and step back into your, okay, this is a serious statement someone just made, and I need to treat it as such and go from there. And if someone says that to you, you need to follow up with it, with the parents, with the guidance counselor, and not let it stop there. Anytime you can help somebody, don't let it stop there.
I was looking at it, the bullyingstatistics.org. They said facts on bullying also provide information on what types of signs to look for in children who might be the ones bullying the others. And it says they become the bully at home or wherever, becomes frequently violent, has trouble controlling their anger, is manipulative and controlling of others in situations, is quick to blame others, doesn't accept responsibility for actions, and needs to win or be the best at everything. They just say these are just some warning signs that can help parents. I would think sometimes if somebody's really a bully, they may be getting bullied at home, so it may be difficult for that bully to even get help at home, right? They really need
a lot. A lot of times that can be the case, and I even talked to a young gentleman who's in his 20s a few months ago that said something to me that I knew was truthful but was kind of shocking, and that was that he was bullied as a kid, I want to say probably 4th through 7th or 8th grade, and because he was short. And so in 8th grade, he went home and told his dad, he said, Dad, I want to enroll in karate. And his dad said, why do you want to enroll in karate? He said, I don't want to hurt people, but I want to be able to defend myself. And his dad said, what do you mean by that, son? And he said, well, the kids at school are being mean to me and because I'm small. And he said, I want to know how to stand up for myself when someone tall comes up to me and shoves me. I want to know what to do. And now he's, I think, the closest to black belt that as you can get without being a black belt. I don't know if that's brown. There are people out there that know that better than I do. But he's nearly a black belt.
Yeah, I don't know either, for sure.
And he stood up for himself. And so for a small, brief period of time, he kind of fell into this, okay, I was bullied, it's okay to bully others. And then he stopped himself. He realized, okay, now I can stand up for myself. I know how to kick, and I know this position, and I know this hold, and I know what can, you know, make somebody succumb to me physically, and I can stop this bullying. So he turned around, and I guess out of anger from being bullied for a period of time, he bullied some others, but since then has gone back and apologized and has since then totally changed as a person, has had deaths in his family and things that happened to all of us, and he's made a total turnaround. So we don't want to put bullies in a box and say, throw them away.
No.
That's not what we don't want
not
to do
at
that.
All, no.
We want to, if anything, we can't call people broken. People feel broken, and we can't call them fixed. But people are hurting, and they can be healed. And that's the way I look at it. When someone's hurting, you can help them heal. And I think when we look in the eyes of our fellow individuals, when we're in contact with them, we can see when they're hurting. We can tell when they're having a great day. And we can tell when they're faking it. So I think that's when we need to engage, is when, you know, when they're down or we know they're faking it. We just need to draw it out of them. What can I do to help?
And, you know, the two words, I'm sorry, or I am sorry, three, you know, are very strong, you know, for people to go back and then communicate. I love the it's time to heal. And I think that hits home in so many places all the time. It's just what you're doing is wonderful. Another statistic I saw, though, it said 160,000 youth skip school. You mentioned a lot of facts earlier. It's just enormous. I mean, it's just, to me, very alarming. I don't know if nowadays more and more people can homeschool because there's actually curriculum set up that are that's easier to homeschool these days. It's just, I guess parents have to decide which is the way to go if this continues.
I'd like to see a survey considering what you just said about the number of children that are homeschooled for that very reason, because I think if children were truthful and parents were truthful, and a lot of these festivals and schools and different places where I go will tell me, you know, I quit my job and I homeschool now because my child is afraid to go to school. So it does happen. I don't know statistics on that specifically, but the skipping of school, if the child is relatively intelligent, they can get their buddy to take their assignment in to work for them, and they can avoid the bully and just skip school, you know, and a lot of times schools are getting so big and so large, and even though everything's computerized, I mean, a lot of that doesn't get followed up on. Like when I was a child, and if I missed school, my teacher called my mother before lunch and said, "What's going on?"
Exactly.
Now that doesn't happen, you know. So kids do purposefully skip school because of it, and that's the last thing you need, because your really good years that they have always said in studies over the decades, the really good friends that you will have throughout your life will mostly be people you meet in college. And you want to go to college feeling really good about yourself, as good about yourself as you possibly can. So that's why the K-12 year period is so formative and so important.
It is. Wow. This is we have about 10 minutes left. I can't believe how this time has flown by. I want to start for the agents and brokers out there, and me being in the industry for 30 years, and I used to always say, well, why is it real estate? Why can't it just be self-help? Because I believe, you know, a lot of the characteristics of people that are in this industry, agents and brokers, want to serve people and want to help people, and then it can become a very overwhelming type of industry because you do more, you're good at it, people refer you, and you get more and more and more, and it's overwhelming. So I really commend you for pushing through and then going and moving forward and just bringing your legacy out to the world and your gifts. For the agents and brokers that will be listening to this, what got you to finally do that? Because this is definitely a full-time, what you're doing is very full-time. What got you to finally say, okay, you know, this is in my heart, I want to do this, I know this is my mission, and if you could just tell everybody a little bit about how you took the steps to do it, because I think we all, like I have a mission for, it's time to heal with wounded, you know, things that go on throughout people's lives that sometimes they don't let go of and starts in childhood. So if you could just tell our audience your take on that, because I'm very impressed. You've done it. So many of us want to go do it and no, never do it.
Well, how it came about for me was I had a lot to do with my degree in psychology and how much I learned in the corporate world, and then doing real estate as a profession for over 25 years. Is we always talk about location, location, location. But the other thing that we talk about in real estate and how we become successful and how we better ourselves is by word of mouth. And everyone that's in real estate will tell you word of mouth is the best advertising. And I don't care what kind of advertising is out there. If you engage with a client, you give them what they want as far as finding them the perfect house. And you're right. When you're selling them the most expensive thing that 95% of people will buy in their lifetime is a house, then you're going to get to know their family and the number of children they have because the number of bedrooms they'll need, and you really get to become their friend. And it's a hard thing to balance, especially if you're a broker. You have to really kind of, you know, stay at a distance because you really need to be impartial. But as a salesperson, you want to get involved because you might sell a house to someone whose two children are the same age as yours and they live right down the street. So for me, it was just kind of a tough transition in the sense that I own my own firm. And I have always had my dream of songwriting, and I've actually had bites on some of my songs in the past 2 years and things, songs that were nominated for the Pitch to Publisher Luncheon in Nashville. So I'm hoping someday those things will follow through to successes. So I really, that's dream number one. And dream number two was to break through and do the bullying and not be afraid of whether people would be supportive or not, because look at today. I get 60 minutes with a highly successful individual who sees my passion and sees what I would look forward to on a daily basis and understands that I've done the same sorts of things that she has done, meaning you, for over 25 years. And I just think there's so much more I can do. And I think time management-wise, it's difficult when you have a full-time career. I do own a small company that affords me the ability to do this. So I slowly transitioned. I phased out my clients. I closed down my office. I opened a small business that I didn't have to be on site all day, and I can run from a distance. And then I just went into the website and then just trying to contact people. And like I say, word of mouth, and on your show today, right, is word of, right, mouth. The person is not in front of us that might hear what we're, right, saying today, but the word of mouth is there, and what they heard today they can expound upon and spread to other people. And statistics change, so nobody's perfect. Everything we said today may not resonate with every single person listening, but the majority of everything that we say does. And it's very much like real estate. If you will help somebody that's bullying, it's all about location, 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 because you're right there witnessing it. And it's all about word of mouth. You've got to open your mouth and say something. So it's not far off from real estate. It's not far off from psychology. It's really very much interlinked. And it's, you know, it's very much a calling. I feel a calling. I pray about it, and I look forward to each new day. And that's the way that I kind of have put it into perspective moving forward. And someone told me once back, when we have times that we're just, there's very few times, you know, during the year that we kind of feel like we're stagnant or slowing down or that sort of thing. A few months ago, I said that to someone about I had a lot on my plate and that sort of thing, and told that person I was in slow motion. And that person, uh-huh, said the most wonderful thing to me that just made my day and put a smile from ear to ear. And I jumped up and I started doing stuff. And it was a simple phrase. He said, "Dan, don't worry about it." He said, "Slow motion is better than no motion." And I said,
absolutely.
I said, "Can I use that?" He said, "You can have it." And I said, "Well, I'm going to use it." And I just did on the air with you and everyone listening. And I just hope that everybody can just move forward. And, you know, there's so many things that you can do that are just simple to help other people. You know, whether it's donate for my cause with the wristbands and that sort of thing, and whether it's just to question and ask somebody, is there something I can do for you that I don't know about in your life? You know, is there something that I could possibly help with? You know, we're not going to pay people's electric bills. Oprah has gone on the air and said, "Don't send me letters asking me to pay your electric bill." But we can help people. We can help people in small ways that may last.
And I
way
hope,
further
I know.
Action.
Yeah, I hope that people that want to, like, say, get involved in this, they could realize they could even help an hour a week, 5 hours a week, 10 hours, you know, if they only have a little bit of time, right, to get involved.
Sure, or even one individual event, if they wanted to host a charity event and they've just built a house and they're having a housewarming, let that, you know, charity event be anti-bullying and have that at their home and have two celebrations at once. People that are empty nesters a lot of times need some more socializing to do. I'm calling upon those people who want to host different fundraisers and just reach,
wow,
out to me and let me know if you're available, and I'm grateful for all of them. And I'll repeat it, shameless plug, I'm Daniel Amadeus at iCloud.com, and it's danfab.org. I guess nowadays you don't even have to put the www, you can just search danfab.org and pull that up. And then my phone number, area code 615-668-3177, that has voicemail where you can leave a message. And certainly you can text me as well, 615-668-3177, and email me, have a look at my website. And anyone out there who can help and who has been affected by bullying, even if you've been a bully, don't don't be afraid to say, oh, man, I don't want to admit that I was ever a bully. You don't have to tell your entire story to help somebody, but you can sure tell some of your story to help somebody. And then people that have been bullied and thrived and survived is what I like to say about myself. Survived and thrived, people can help as well. So anyone can help that wants to just lift a finger. And for all of those people, I am grateful. And, you know, I just say a prayer for that and just hope for that every day as I wake up. I kind of take a line from one of Madea's movies where one of my favorite actresses, Cicely Tyson, is in a scene with a young lady, a niece or a daughter, I guess her daughter, and the daughter says, you know, what do I do in this situation? And it's an abuse situation. And she says, I'm not strong like you. And Cicely Tyson says to her, and I think this is just something I draw from, you know, entertainment and acting and music. And she said to the girl in this scene, she said, honey, all you can do is go home and go to sleep, get a good night's sleep. I'm paraphrasing. Wake up in the morning and thank God that you did, and then go about your day. So I think if we all do that, if we all do that and we just kind of look forward to each day, we don't have to think about at night before we go to bed what we're going to do tomorrow. We should rest and stop thinking about that sort of thing. That'll worry you and you won't get the best sleep. You should sleep and relax, and when the alarm clock goes off, wake up and say, good morning, God. Good morning, God of my understanding, however it speaks to you, and say,
God's
thank
amazing.
You. Thank you for this new day that gives me an opportunity to be a part of someone else's life and change someone else's life and enrich someone else's life other than my own. And please allow me to be blessed to do that and to have a safe day myself.
I love it. God bless. I just love it. That's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And, well, you get such amazing gifts, and to, you know, everybody, it's just so much we can all do to support each other and show our love and our peace, and just it's just great. I know a lot of people are going to hear this show, and what you're doing is definitely making a difference, you know, especially with the children, too. And moving
well, I'm calling out to all the real estate agents. And as a former realtor of 25 years, it was a wonderful 25 years of my life, but this is my legacy. I want to leave this as my legacy. And I'm calling out to all realtors around the country who may hear this. And for those that hear it, to participate, email me, call me, get involved, donate, have fundraisers, and have fun doing it and be social. And then I would just ask that they kind of have that same faith along with me that, you know, to tell a few people about it, to talk about it, and ask those people to join in, because when you do that, it can become exponential. And that's why I am trying to meet people on LinkedIn, such as yourself, and look at us. We're on the radio today speaking about something very serious.
Awesome.
Yet we've had some time, and we've gotten to know a little bit about each other. And I think that just gives us more reason to have another show another day and maybe
absolutely
cover some different topics and some of the same topics and had a little laugh. We haven't had any people call in, so I guess we've had some really strong listeners, which is really wonderful because I think
very, very good.
You see performers on shows on TV like America's Got Talent, for instance. I'm not making any shameless plugs, but when you can have an audience at bay and have them with bated breath and totally quiet, you know you've got them. So I guess today, Natalie, we have them. We've got them. Your listeners are in tune. They're sharp. They're probably already taking notes, and as much as realtors do and follow
them, that's
part of our life.
We have a lot of people that love to listen at their convenience, too, because it's so easy these days, and it makes it much easier. And with the contact information, again, Dan's is 615-668-3177. And the website is danfab.org. And, of course, you can always go to realityuniversal.com, send the information to us, and then we'll forward it on to Dan, too, and give you his contact information as well. Dan, this has been a pleasure. We have to have you back. We're already at the end. I can't believe it. And it flew by, no commercials whatsoever. And I hope this has been so informative.
Well, may I say thank you for the opportunity, and I consider it a blessing as well. And for everybody out there who's listening now and who will listen to this telecast and maybe, or this broadcast rather, and maybe even play it over to rehear some of the things that we talked about, they need to know that the thoughts are out there. And for them, my message is to send out to everyone and resonate for myself good things for everybody. So not just the bullies and the bullied, but the people that are struggling to help them, the people that are struggling every day in their life, who are in the business of real estate, and everyone that they know and love. So basically my message is, you know, that my love is out there for you, your audience, and for all
thank
those
you.
That you love. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Natalie,
we'll be
thank you for
you
the
back
opportunity.
In. Thank you. God bless. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.